Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Zach Meisel, Indians beat reporter, of course, one of the best in the business, and he joins us, as all our guests do here on Bull and Fox on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
Well, I mean, we hear this news, and I told Jason earlier, immediately I go back to last year, and I'm like, no, I thought we slayed all those demons last year as far as the injuries and what happened in spring training. Give us the very latest on Mike Clevinger, what you know.
Yeah, I think he's undergoing surgery as we speak. So this is, they'll be able to identify kind of the extent of it. And once they do that, they can put a timetable on it. But, you know, it's always tricky when you're talking about this time of year, because you hear Francona say it all the time. I remember Kipnis was hurt for most of spring training a couple of years ago and like never recovered. And you miss the gradual buildup to a season, and you can be playing from behind for a lot longer than you're actually out. So I'm sure they're going to want to be careful. I'm sure Clevinger's going to try to push it like only he can, because he made it back from his injury last year a lot earlier than people thought he would. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it does seem like it's always something with this team. I mean, it was Lindor at the start of spring training last year who got hurt, missed all of spring, and then came back and got hurt again. And they just can't catch a break. And we know this is a team that's, the superstars are critical, and you need them to be healthy and perform like superstars. So no matter how long Clevinger's out, just for him to be going through this right now is about the worst thing that could have happened at this point in the season.
Well, you're going right where I wanted to take you when you talk about the time missed and everything. At least it's not his arm, right? At least it's a knee and it's not his arm. But how much time do you think he needs to be ready once he is clear to come back? How much time will he need to get himself ready to pitch in a game?
Yeah, so the thing with him is he's one of those guys who, like, the season ended and the next day he's out throwing and researching ways to get better and improve his mechanics for next season. So it's different where, you know, guys used to get to spring training and on day one they'd be throwing 65 miles an hour and you'd need that full 6 weeks to build up to your full stamina. Sure. And velocity. And that's not the case anymore. But it's also like you don't want him to come back and then all of a sudden ask him to throw 70 pitches in an outing. So there is still that gradual buildup that has to take place, just in terms of a pitch count and stuff. So it's hard to say. I mean, it depends. I know it's not his arm, but like the knee, and especially the knee of the leg that he lands on, that's still a really important piece of that wacky delivery. So, you know, I think if you're the Indians, you're probably thinking if he's back sometime in April, that would be a victory. But again, it depends on how severe of a tear this was. I know it was only a partial tear, but you really don't know. I think usually in meniscus injuries, what do we think? I mean, I know that happens in basketball from time to time. Like what, 4 to 6 weeks? So
yeah, that's what, you know, we were talking earlier today. My kind of guess baseline would be a month, 4 to 6 weeks, but you know, that's just a guess based on a lot of knee scopes.
But you still need to, you know, once you heal, because you don't want him going out there and throwing until it's completely healed and he can do that delivery without feeling anything. So that's when you then have to start the gradual buildup. So I would guess right this second he won't be on the opening day roster, but I don't think it's out of the question that he can make it back in time.
Longtime Indians beat writer Zach Meisel is our guest here on Bull and Fox. Zach, if there's a silver lining, and I know Tito says it every year, pretty much every team says it, but certainly we hear it a lot from Tito and the Indians, you can never have enough pitching. And look, we knew going into this season with everybody healthy, perhaps a decision had to be made. I know you've written about it a lot between Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac, Plutko, or Adam Plutko as well, although he's out of options. Now it would look like the three of those guys, all three of those guys, would most likely start and leave Goodyear in that starting rotation, correct?
Yeah, that's probably the most logical scenario. It's weird because they have depth, and they've proven that they're really good at just churning these guys out whenever they need somebody from the pipeline. But at the same time, it's still unproven. And it was last year, and it worked, because Savali came up and had a ton of success. Plesac came up and had some success. Even Jeffrey Rodriguez gave him a few good starts earlier in the season. But you still don't know, when you're tapping into that depth, where Logan Allen is in terms of his development, or where Tristan McKenzie is, a guy who hasn't even pitched a AAA yet and missed the entire season last year. Those are two guys who were top 100 prospects and highly regarded. But there's still a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, even guys behind them like Scott Moss, Jeffrey Rodriguez, even like Eli Morgan, those are guys who all could potentially be ready to pitch in the majors at some point this season. But they're still just, it's a mystery. You don't know until they come up here. So you always want to hold off on having to tap into that depth until you're absolutely desperate. And you certainly don't want to be desperate on February 14th. So that's why I think they're going to need Savali and Plesac, especially to take steps forward and not suffer those growing pains that sometimes second-year guys do.
So Domingo Santana's official now. Is it safe to assume that he and Franmil Reyes will not be in the outfield at the same time together most days? And who do you think will emerge in left field?
Yeah, my guess is Franmil Reyes will be in the outfield and Domingo Santana DH. The two of them together would be pretty terrifying, and I know Terry Francona, he's had heart problems in the past, so I don't know that he needs that for his blood pressure. But I think Santana probably gets the bulk of the DH reps. It's going to be interesting because this clearly makes life difficult for Bobby Bradley. I don't really see a way for him to make the opening day roster unless there's an injury. And then it squeezes out some guys, maybe like Jake Bowers. It could be tough for him to make it. It's hard to see how certain guys fit, like Bradley Zimmer, Greg Allen. I mean, it's weird because I know we've said they need to upgrade the outfield, and we've been saying this all off season. Well, we've been saying it for like a decade, but they have too many guys, and I don't know who's going to wind up in left field platooning with Jordan Luplow. Maybe nobody. Maybe Luplow's an everyday player. Maybe they played Delino DeShield some. But you can see kind of where they're leaning, with the signing of Santana, because that pretty much tells you that they believe Franmil Reyes can play the outfield, and he certainly worked hard at it this winter in the Dominican Republic and lost a ton of weight, got more agile, and he's excited to play. Terry Francona said he's going to trot Reyes out there in the outfield all spring, so that seems to be the way they're going. And then that basically just leaves the one unanswered question of who starts in the other corner outfield spot.
So Terry likes to be creative. We've seen that, obviously, he was one of the first to do like Santana in the leadoff spot and all that. Mm-hmm. What if he just puts Reyes in center and puts Delino DeShields in left and Mercado in right, and just tell him, okay, you guys go get everything?
Well, that is an option. I think it would be DeShields in center and Mercado in one of the corners. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have asked, why wouldn't you just play Reyes in left, where he can kind of hide under the 19-foot-high wall? And that makes sense. He's got a good arm, so that was never an issue. But you're right. It's about the range. And that's why I think, regardless of what happens, you'll probably see DeShields a lot late in games as a defensive replacement, especially, obviously, when they're winning. And I think, I'm not a believer in DeShields' bat. He's not a guy I would want out there in the starting lineup on a regular basis, but I know Terry Francona likes him, and they've coveted at least his defense and his speed for a while, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him and Mercado start in left and center on occasion as well.
Zach, I'm just curious, and maybe you've asked this of some of the players, maybe they just don't want to talk about it anymore, but I mean, obviously, this cheating scandal hasn't gone away. If anything, it's gained some steam with the ridiculous comments from Jim Crane and company yesterday or the day before. Have you had a chance to talk to any of the players or even Terry Francona? And if so, what has been their response primarily?
Yeah, it's a little weird because the guys who are here now, this team has changed so much over the course of even just a couple of years where, you know, it's the guys who are maybe hinting at what the Astros were doing. Well, Trevor Bauer's gone. Jason Kipnis is gone. Guys who have been around and who maybe watched the Astros up close a lot in 2017 and 2018. Like, there aren't very many of them left, and there aren't very many who are outspoken. So, you know, it has been refreshing to see league-wide players kind of step up and express their frustration and not just give canned cliches to this, because it is a pretty serious issue, and you can tell a lot of players and people around the sport are peeved, and you're right. It's not going away. So obviously we heard what Clevinger said, and I know he was excited to face the Astros this year. I think they play them first time in May. So, you know, I don't know what Clevinger's official timetable will be, but you can guarantee that he'll be back in time for that series. But I think a lot of people are just frustrated because it seems like a lot of people knew something was going on. Maybe they didn't know the specifics, but it seemed like everyone felt that no one could do anything about it until one guy finally spoke up. And now you just hear everybody feeling confident enough and encouraged to voice their frustrations. And hopefully that makes sure that nothing like that ever happens again.
Zach, I think the White Sox are legit this year with some of their offseason additions. Am I wrong? And how do you see the division shaking out this year?
No, I mean, they're legit, but I think because they're so young in so many key areas, there's a wide spectrum of what could happen. A lot of their pitchers, especially like Dylan Cease, you know, Kopech is coming off that injury. Like, it would be unfair to place, you know, lofty expectations on basically their entire rotation. Their bullpen isn't very good. Their lineup is as good as it gets. I mean, it's the Twins and the Yankees are probably at the top off the top of my head. And the White Sox, at least potential-wise, they could be right there. And if they're not this year, they will be next year. So, with them, I know I heard around White Sox camp, I think they're first kind of focusing on let's have our first winning season in a while and see what happens. And you know, they could contend for the division. It wouldn't shock me if any of these three teams win the division. But I still think the White Sox are probably closer to, 84, 85 wins than, you know, 95 wins and running away with the division. But that, I mean, that lineup, and then when those pitchers mature in another year or two, that team is going to be set up really nicely for the next 5 to 7 years.
Zach, always appreciate the time, buddy. Keep up the great work. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Zach Meisel, and the very latest, certainly for Mike Clevinger, as Zach reported, he's in surgery now. And we'll await more updates as well. Appreciate the time, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Zach.
You got it, fellas. Thanks.
All right, that's Zach Meisel on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.